Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
For 2 weeks in a row now, we've been telling you that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, and that by God's choice, the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross was the purchase price to buy us back from sin. Here now are my friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean from their album Top of My Lungs, singing a song entitled One Way.
I lay my life down at your feet. You're the only one I need. I turn to you and you are always there. In troubled times, it's you I seek. I put you first, that's all I need.
Like me, you love it when someone sings and shouts praise to God at the top of their lungs. And if you're like me, you like it when the preacher preaches at the top of his lungs. Well, I'm that kind of preacher, and in just a few minutes, we're going to play more preaching for you about the blood of Jesus. But before we do, let's play the namesake of that album by Phillips, Craig, and Dean. Here it is, Top of My Lungs.
Words of worship rise like a river within me. The thoughts to express are so many. Wanna bless you, God. Can't be silent. I think of the mercies you show me. My lips begin overflowing. Great is your love. much gratitude for all that you do, Jesus, to you.
As promised, you're about to hear some preaching. Amen. We've heard them sing at the top of their lungs, and now you're going to hear this preacher preach at the top of his lungs. We've been playing for 2 weeks in a row now portions of a message that I preached on the blood of Jesus. Here we go.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Folks, I'm a holiness preacher. And I believe it's holiness or hell. I believe unholiness can earn you a place in hell. But hear me, folks. The holiness we stand in better not be our own. We better be standing in the holiness of Jesus Christ that was afforded to us by the propitiation because He shed His blood. I'm not sure I can find exactly where they got Bible for it, but the old timers had some stuff that was right. And the old timers used to plead the blood. Anybody here ever pleaded the blood? I don't know if the right way to say it is pled the blood or pleaded. I don't know which is proper grammar, but I think it works best either way you say it. The devil's trying to get my kids. I plead the blood of Jesus over my kids. The devil's trying to ruin my finances. I plead the blood of Jesus over my finances. My carnal nature's all out of whack, and it's trying to mess me up in my walk with God. I plead the blood of Jesus over myself. I plead the blood of Jesus. You ought to stand up and say it. I plead the blood of Jesus. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it is by His blood. It is by His blood. I plead the blood of Jesus. Yes, yes, the devil thought he was going to wreck Christian Apostolic Church, but the blood of Jesus was standing in the way. Yes, he told you your kids were going to backslide, but the blood of Jesus is on those kids and is standing in the way. Because he can't come through the blood. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. There was a lot of minerals and dirt that come down in the Red Sea. It was red like blood. There's a symbol there. See, God's people can pass through the blood and get to the other side. But what happens when the enemy tries to chase you through the blood? He gets drowned and he sinks to the bottom like a stone. God drops him like a rock. You need to tell the devil. Anybody ever see those martial arts movies when the guy, woo! Sometimes you need to look at the devil like that and say, listen, devil, I'm not fighting you in my own strength. I'm like little bitty David standing before the giant. You come at me with carnality. You come at me with temptations. You come at me with addictions. You come at me with swords and spears. But I come against you in the name of the Lord and by His shed blood. Sometimes when you're having trouble, you ought to look at the devil and just say, woo. Hey, say, come on, devil, because there's something between me and you. It's a line from Calvary. It flows from Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you try to come through it, you're going down like a rock. Amen. Y'all sit down just for a minute. I got a little tiny bit more preaching. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. First Corinthians chapter 6 talks about the moral purity of a blood-washed Christian. And in particular, he talks about how that a blood-washed Christian avoids sexual impurity, sexual sin. And when he describes why we do it, he makes clear that it is not to earn our salvation, but it is because we're already saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 15, says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. That means flee sexual impurity. Flee sexual sin. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, is outside the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 7, just a few verses later, 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 23, speaking about the subject of slavery. He said, and he's talking to people who are not at that time slaves. He says, "You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." Folks, I made a declaration this morning that this church is going to preach truth. This church is going to preach modesty. This church is going to preach, I'm going to say it again, this church is going to preach modesty. We live in an immodest world. We need to be beacons of modesty. Amen. Like I said, men, there's some stuff only your wife needs to see. If you're not married yet, just you and God in the shower, nobody else. Say the same thing about the women. There's some stuff only your husband needs to see. Brother Billy Cole used to say, "Shut the gates of hell." There's nobody like Billy Cole. He is unique. If God will help me to my dying breath or till the rapture takes me, I'm going to be a preacher of that we need to live a godly lifestyle. But folks, it'll be a sad day indeed if I ever elevate my preaching on that above my preaching on the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the first and only foundation of salvation. If salvation is based on my own righteousness, then I am standing before God in filthy rags of self-righteousness. It is only by the blood of Jesus. There's only one thing that stands between me and my carnal nature that gives me victory. One thing and one thing only. It's not my resolve. It's not my willpower. It's not my history. It's not my holiness. It's nothing that I have done. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing else. And it is only by faith in His blood that I have the guts to look at the devil and say, "Oh." Because I know if he ever gets to me, I'm in bad shape. But the good news is the blood of Jesus Christ is like a Red Sea that stands between me and Pharaoh's chariots. Can you see him? The last of the Hebrews is coming up out of the Red Sea. The walls of water are standing there. And in come the chariots and the horsemen. It's almost like God standing there. The angels are cued. They're ready to drop the walls of water. And he's saying, "Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait, wait. Now." And down. They sank like a stone. You ever heard anybody say, "I'll drop you like a bag of rocks"? That's what God said to Pharaoh. "Come on in here, Bubba. I'll drop you like a bag of rocks." That's what happens when the devil tries to go against the blood of Jesus. I'm glad to say that's what happens when my carnal nature tries to go against the blood of Jesus. Something ought to well up inside of you tonight that stands up and says, "I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my checkbook. I plead the blood of Jesus over my job and my boss. I plead the blood of Jesus over my marriage. I plead the blood of Jesus over my kids. I plead the blood of Jesus over my pastor." Folks, I need you praying for me. This church needs our leadership strong. I need the blood of Jesus. And I believe there's power in the unity of God's people praying. Amen. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over our church. Sister Tiffany got up this morning and she sang a song, said, "Get up in Jesus' name." Folks, that's about how I feel right now. We've tried all that stuff of trying clever programs and trying to stand in our own strength. Amen. Folks, I'm opening up this altar tonight for us to come and plead the blood of Jesus. We need to plead the blood of Jesus over whatever it is in our life that the devil is trying to attack. Is anybody? I'm going to tell you like I told them. I'm going out there. Is anybody going with me? Because we got the name of Jesus. And we've got the blood of Jesus. And the devil is going down. We're going to drop him like a rock. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, we're going to drop him like a rock. Tell him, say, devil, you're going down. Come on, somebody in the aisle and come up here. Hallelujah. I want to see disease gone because of the blood of Jesus. I want to see depression gone because of the blood of Jesus. I want to see addiction gone because of the blood of Jesus. I want to see fear and doubt gone because of the blood of Jesus.
Oh, folks, what a great move of God we had in the altar that night after the preaching. So many people healed and touched. God began to speak through ministers in our church, revealing to them diseases that were present in the congregation. And as it was called out, people began to step forward, and the blood of Jesus brought healing. I want to give you a testimony that a few days after that, I strained or tore a muscle in my back and was in terrible pain and couldn't move. And the church prayed for me, and God miraculously and marvelously healed me. And if you've ever been down in your back, you know how terrible that is. Now, I don't know if you could tell it during the playback of that sermon, but there was a point when we had to skip and jump over a place in time, and it was due to a recording problem with our equipment, and the recording of that portion of the service was not of a good enough quality to play back. We'll have to address that. But I want to try to help you know what part of the sermon it is that you missed. There was a point when I was just a teenager when I turned my life over to God at just 16 years of age, repented, surrendered to the Lord, and was baptized. God filled me with His Spirit marvelously and wonderfully, and I spoke with other tongues when His Spirit came in. It was just like in the book of Acts. I was 16 years old when that happened, and in the following year of my life, at 17 years of age, I became aware of the calling of God to preach His Word. But tragedy struck our family when I was 18 years old. There are five children. I have two brothers and two sisters, five children in our family, and while all five of us were teenagers, and while our godly mother was doing the best that she could to bring us up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, my father, who is not a believer and was in fact a very ungodly man, he committed suicide. My dad had spent his life trying to prove that a man could make it on his own. He had spent his life trying to prove that a man did not need God, that a good life could be built just on the basis of education and hard work. And my dad was an intelligent man, and he tried his best, but he came up short. He came up empty, and his depression swallowed him. We began to pray. We sought God for him. We began to try to teach him Bible studies, but my dad was so far down in depression and so convinced that God was not real and so utterly sure of some things that a man ought not be sure of, that he just placed himself beyond the reach of God's grace and God's salvation. And one day, on a dark, rainy Sunday afternoon, my dad slipped out into the shed in the back of the house and cut chunks out of his wrists and put a bullet through his lungs and took his life. Oh, the sadness and the grief. And for months, we realized that we were going to have to adjust to life without a father. Suicide is such a selfish thing. I know that the devil and the spirits that try to bring that lie to that depressed person, telling them that everyone will be better off without them and that they're a detriment to the family and everybody would be happier if they're gone. Folks, that's a lie. That is a lie from the pit of hell. And even though he was not a believer, he was my dad. And even though he made a lot of mistakes in life, we were much better off with him than we were without him. And the pain we endured. I want to tell you that if the devil's been lying to you and telling you that your family would be better off without you, it's a lie. If the devil's been telling you that your children or your spouse would be better off if you just left the scene or if you just took your life, you need to hear this preacher today. That is not true. The devil is a liar. And if you'll just make up your mind to get to God, to come up out of whatever funk or depression or deep pit you feel like you're in, just call on the name of Jesus. Just plead the blood of Jesus over your life and over your situation, and God will help you. God will bring you out. I remember that those spirits that had gotten my dad down, they began to work on me as a young man, and they began to work on other children in our family, and each one of us had to deal with that in our own way. The spirits lied, and they said to me, "You are your dad. You have his DNA. You're just another version of him, and we got him, and we'll get you." I had to realize, wait a minute, maybe that might be true if I didn't have the blood of Jesus. Maybe that might be true if I didn't have God on my side. But I do have the blood of Jesus. I do have God on my side. And that is a lie from the pit of hell that the devil got my dad and therefore he's going to get me. I remember that as a young man with a call to preach on my life, the pastor was working with me and trying to help me develop and mature into my calling. And I was spending time in prayer at the church. And one occasion he asked me to preach on a certain service. And as I began to prepare to try to find the mind of God and to find what word of God would need to be spoken in that service, I set out to pray in the house one day. And it was like the heavens were brass. It was like the demonic spirits in the house were just jamming the radar. I couldn't seem to touch God. I couldn't seem to pray. Couldn't seem to stay focused and couldn't push through. And I remember I had to leave the house and go to the church to pray. And that night after I preached, I went to my mom, who is a precious godly woman, full of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and baptized in Jesus' name and anointed by the blood of Jesus. And I told my mother, I said, "Mom, I tried to pray in the house today and I couldn't pray." And my mother told me, she said, "I haven't been able to pray in the house for a while." And even though I'm not the oldest, there's one brother older than me. At that time, he was not living for God. And as the oldest male in the house that was living for God, full of the Holy Ghost and anointed by the blood of Jesus, I spoke up and there was a leadership mantle that came upon me. And I told my mother, I said, "Mama, that's not right. We ought to be able to pray in our own house." And she said, "Amen, you're right." And so on the way home, four siblings and myself and my mother in the car, I said, "Let's stop at the grocery store and let's get some bottles of olive oil." And we bought olive oil, and on the way home, we prayed that God would bring his anointing upon us and that his anointing would be placed resident in that olive oil. And when we got home, we formed a prayer committee. We formed a line of people seeking to go through that house and bring the deliverance of God and bring the application of the blood of Jesus onto that house. I'll never forget it. We started on the front porch and we anointed the steps and the columns. My siblings lined up behind me and my mother was with us. We went through the front door and anointed the doorposts. We went into the first room and anointed everything in that room. And then we went from room, to every bedroom. We anointed furniture. We anointed the walls. We anointed the window sills. We anointed everything and prayed over everything in the name of Jesus. I remember my younger brother, he wasn't even living for God yet at that time, but he was very sensitive to God and he was sensitive to the spirit world. And he began to say, "It feels better. It feels better." And indeed, you could feel it. I'll never forget when we were done. The oldest of my two younger sisters spoke up and she said, "You know where they've gone. They've gone to the shed in the backyard where Daddy took his life." And I told my family, I said, "I'm going out there. Is anybody going to go with me?" My younger brother spoke up and Warren said, "I'll go with you." And we went back to that shed and anointed it with oil. I splashed olive oil of anointing on the wall where my dad's blood was. And God ran every demonic spirit out of that shed, off our property, and out of our lives. He'll do the same for you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.